Das kann sehr sehr nicht aber sagen, wie man heute sagt, das sollte darf man gemmel. Sagt der Mission der Pazik, says, schreit ihm, say to the Yidin, who are going out to war, whoever just built a house and has not yet lived in it, should go, leave now and return home. This includes someone who built a barn to store straw, or one who built a barn for cattle, or one who built a woodshed, and one who built a storehouse for wine, oil, or grain. It also includes someone who builds a house, and someone who buys a house, someone who inherits a house, and even someone who receives a house as a gift. The Pasuk then says, a man who planted a vineyard did not yet redeem it. This includes someone who planted a vineyard, or someone who planted five fruit trees, even if they are of different types of fruit. This includes someone who planted these, or someone who was mavrich, he bends a branch of the tree into the ground where it formed its own roots, and later cuts it off from the mother tree. Or even someone who grafts a tree, or someone who bought a tree, or someone who inherited a tree, or even someone who received a tree as a gift. The Pasuk then says, or even a man who gave Eris into a woman. It was also a potter. This includes one who gave Eris into a Basula, someone who gave Eris into a widow, even to a Yavim, who has a Shemeris Yavim waiting for Yivim, and even someone who just heard that his brother died without children, he does not go out to fight, rather he returns home. All these people have to travel out with the army to hear the exemptions from the Meshuach Mechama, and then they return home. They still have to provide, they have to be there to service and provide food and water for the troops and repair the roads, and are thus not totally exempt from, they're exempt from fighting, but not exempt from civil service. The following people do not become exempt from going out to fight. Someone who builds a gatehouse, or an unwalled entranceway, or a porch, someone who plants four fruit trees, or even five trees if they're not fruit trees, and someone who marries his own divorcee. These people have to continue going out and actually fight in the war. If Kohen Gadol gives Eirusin to a widow, or a regular Kohen gives Eirusin to a divorcee or a chalutza, or a Yid who gave Eirusin to a Mamzeres or a Nasina, or Yisraelis who got Eirusin from a Nasina or a Mamzer, in all these cases, the husband would not become exempt from fighting. Rabbi Yehuda says that someone who rebuilt a house on its original footprint would also not be exempt. Rabbi Eliezer says someone who built a house using bricks from Sharon, which would have a rather short, useful life, is also not exempt. The Mishnah continues. The following people don't even have to travel out with the army in the first place. Someone who built a house and began to live in it, but did not yet live there yet for a full year. Someone who planted a vineyard and began to redeem it, meaning it's already the fourth year after planting, but did not yet do so for a full year. Someone who entered into nisuin already, but did not yet live with his new wife for a full year. And someone who married his yavama, but did not yet live with her for a full year. These people don't even go out at all with them to even to hear the first round of exemptions. This is based on the pasuk that says Noki yir lebeisa shana achas. Lebeisa refers to an exemption for a house. Yir refers to an exemption for a vineyard. V'simechas isha refers to his wife, and asher lachach refers to his yavama. These people don't even have to provide food and water for the troops or repair the roads, meaning they're exempt fully from civil service. Zaklimar Bryce says the pasuk says v'dibru ashoitim. We would think that the shoitim are therefore the ones to announce all the exemptions. However, the pasuk then says v'yosfu hashoitim, which means that they add something later on, are not the ones who make the initial announcement. Rather, it means that with regard to the exemption announcements, the Kohen says them, and the Shaitim repeats them loudly for all to hear. One Brisa says the Kohen says the exemptions, and the Shaitim repeat them. A second Brisa says the Kohen says them, and the Kohen announces them for all to hear. A third Brisa says the Shaitim says them, and the Shaitim announces for all to hear. Abai explains the Pesukim of Venigash until Vidibru are said and announced by the Kohen. The Pesukim of Vidibru until Viyosvu are said by the Kohen and announced by the Shaitim. From that point on, they're said and announced by the Shaitim. The Mishnah said, Miho Ish Asher Bona Abai is Chodesh V'chulo. Brisa says, Asher Bona seems to teach that the exemption only applies to someone who built the house. The extra words of Miho Ish teaches that the exemption includes someone who buys, inherits, or receives a house as a gift. Bias would suggest that exemption only includes someone who now has a new house. Since the pasuk says Asher Bono Bias, instead of saying Asher Bias Bono, the pasuk teaches that the exemption includes even someone who now has a new barn for straw, or for cattle, or a woodshed, or a storehouse as well. We would think to even include someone who has a new porch, entranceway, or gatehouse. The pasuk therefore says Bias teaches that to be a structure fit for living. Rabbi Yasmin Yaakov argues and says that Bias teaches that only a house exempts, a new barn, a new storehouse were not exempt. The pasuk then says, "V'loy chanochoi." Although it could have said "V'loy chanoch," this comes to teach that the exemption of having a new house does not apply to a thief who stole a house. Recommend maybe this last teaching does not follow Rabbi Yossi Aglidi, because he says that "V'racha leva" refers to someone who has a veris. Then it says that such a person should not go out and fight. If he's a thief, he's exempt from fighting anyway because he's someone with a veris. We can say the Mishnah is discussing where the thief did tshuva and then paid for the house that he stole. Therefore, he doesn't have the avera, but he does have a new house. However, since he initially got the house via thievery, it cannot exempt him from fighting. Mishnah said, "Omiyo ish asher nata kerem v'chulo." Brisa says, "Asher nata teaches that the exemption only applies to one who plants." The extra word of "omi ha'ish" teaches that it even applies to one who buys, inherits, or receives a vineyard as a gift. The word "kerem" would suggest that it only applies to a vineyard. Since the pasuk says "asher nata kerem," instead of saying "asher nekerem nata," it teaches that it includes one who plants five fruit trees, even if they are each a different fruit. The word kerem serves to exclude one who plants four fruit trees and even more non-fruit trees. But Rabbi Yaakov argues and says that kerem teaches that only a vineyard exempts, not any other fruit trees. The pasuk then says v'loy chileloy, when it could have just said v'loy chilel. This comes to exclude from the exemptions one who is mavrich or grafted a vineyard. Our fact from our Mishnah says that one who is mavrich or grafts is exempt. Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi Chisa said the Mishnah is discussing a permissible grafting and the Brisa is discussing one that is also. What's the case of a permissible grafting? It's a tree less than 3 years old being grafted onto another. If it's a tree that's less than 3 years old being grafted onto another tree less than 3 years old, in which case Arla still applied, then the grafter is anyway exempt because of the mother tree. If the case where the mother tree was beyond its early years and the tree that to be grafted was still in its early years, Rav Avoah said that in that case a new tree becomes bottled to the status of the mother tree and would therefore no longer be subject to Arla and would not serve as an exemption from going to fight. Rav Yemiah said the case where a young tree within 3 years old was grafted onto another young tree, but this mother tree was initially planted not for its fruit but rather to use as a fence or for its wood, in which case it was never subject to Arla like it says in the Mishnah. Since the tree to be grafted was planted for its fruit, it is subject to Arla and only it can serve as the basis for an exemption from going to war. In fact, why is it that in Revo's case the grafted tree takes on the status of a mother tree and in Yirmiyah's case it does not? And for the Gemara, the difference is in the case of Revo, that mother tree can never become subject to Arla. It's beyond its early years. In this case, if the owner now decides to use this tree for its fruit, it will become subject to Arla. Since it may itself become subject to Arla, it cannot make the new tree's Arla status become bottle. Why doesn't Rabbi say that the Mishnah is discussing a case of partners where one person owns the mother tree and the other owns the branch to be grafted, and therefore the mother tree can serve as an exemption for its owner, and the new graft can serve as an exemption for its owner? Or Papa said, because since that case is not given, we can learn that a single vineyard cannot serve to exempt more than one person. Why is it different, in fact, more than the case of a man who dies without children, in which case all the brothers become exempt from war based on the Yavama? The Mishnah says, in that case, any one of them may end up with the Yavama being exclusively his wife. In the case of the vineyard, no one person can say karmoi because it may end up belonging to all of them. Rav Nachman easily said the Mishnah can be discussing a case where one grafted a tree onto herbs because herbs are not subject to Arla and therefore cannot serve as the basis for an exemption, but the grafted tree may serve as the basis. This would follow the view of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says in the name of Yehuda ben Gamda of Aku that such grafting is permitted. Rav Dimi Rechen said the Braisa that says that grafting and mavrich do not serve as the basis for an exemption follows the view of Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov, and just as he says that kerem teaches that only a vineyard can serve as the basis for an exemption, he'll also say that not the teachers that only true planting and not mavrich or grafting can serve as the basis for an exemption. Demon in the name of Yechon, in the name of Rabbi Yezman Yaakov, said a tree that's less than a tefach tall will always be subject to Arla's exer because it looks like it's less than 3 years old. However, this is only if there are a total of 5 such trees. If the entire field is made of these trees, such a field will have known that it has small trees and therefore it will not be subject to Arla after the 3rd year. Demon in the name of Yechon, in the name of Rabbi Yezman Yaakov, said one should not say Kriya Shema within 4 amas of a mace because it's viewed as mocking the mace who no longer has the ability to do mitzvahs. Rabbi Yechon, in the name of Yechon, in the name of Rabbi Yezman Yaakov, also said a girl who grew up with stepbrothers may not marry any of their stepbrothers because it looks like she is their true sister. The Gemara says it's not true because it has a coil and will not lead to such misunderstanding. Rabbi Yitzchak, in the name of Rabbi Yechon, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, said if leket shichah or pei is put into a pile, it becomes chayiv in ma'aser de rabbanon because people will think the pile is made from produce from his field, which should be chayiv in ma'aser. Ula said this is only true if the pile is out in the field. However, if it's in the city, people will know what it is and therefore ma'aser will not have to be given from it. Rabbi Yitzchak, in the name of Yechon, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, said a vine less than a tefach tall does not make the plants that grow near it into chayiv de rabbanon because the rabbanon were not geyser with so insignificant the vine. However, this is only true if there are a maximum of 5 of those vines. If the entire field is made of those vines, it's considered to be significant and therefore will create klai in the rabbanon. Yitzchak, in the name of Yechon, in the name of Eliezer ben Yaakov, finally said, a person becomes tummy from a mace as soon as he gets to within 4 amas of it, even if he doesn't touch it or pass over it. We see this from a mission which says that if a person is separated from a mace by some type of partition, then he does not become tummy just based on the fact that he's within 4 amas of the mace. This suggests that if there's no partition, he'll become tummy as soon as he enters the 4 amas of the mace.